Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need, without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
Yo, make no mistake, I started out just like many of you, a 9-to-5 worker at your school right behind me. This is where it all started for me, but I learned skills over the years, and I want you to learn some too. I want you to learn how to become financially free. I want you to set up legacy for your family. I want you to build generational wealth. You can do all that and more. Check out InvestFest. Swipe up.
Earners, what's going on? Traditional universities are outdated and don't teach you how to become an entrepreneur. They just teach you how to become an employee.
You go to school for 4 years and you leave with nothing but debt. But here at EYL University, our curriculum is much different.
Our university teaches you real-world skills that you can use to gain financial freedom right away. In traditional universities, you learn from professors that have never did what they teach, and they teach you how to become an employee. At our university, we use instructors that are currently successful in a specific field that they teach, and they teach you how to become an entrepreneur.
For a limited time only, you can join EYL University for 25% off of the annual membership. Learn about stocks, credit, real estate, crypto, and more. Go to EYLUniversity.com right now and sign up to become an earner.
Don't wait, don't hesitate. Head over there now.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop. F- a mic drop, bag drop.
right, guys, welcome back. EYL, this is a legendary episode. You know, we only deliver legendary episodes for legends.
Stress the word only. That's legends only.
That's a fact, man. Kingston, Jamaica. Shout out to our boy Shams, man. Took us to the neighborhood today. We're having a legendary day. And
first international episode.
Yes.
First international field. This is
in person.
In person.
Yeah. Obviously, if you follow Earn Your Leisure, you know that we big culture fans, we big sports fans, Troy, Jamaican.
Yeah.
By way of New York.
By way of New York, by way of Kingston.
But it's all good. So, Usain Bolt needs no introduction. One of the greatest athletes of all time. The greatest Olympian of all time.
Yeah.
9-time gold medalist.
Triple.
The fastest person in the history of the world.
Absolutely.
It's very rare. The fastest person.
I told my son I was coming here. I said he's the fastest man in the world. He's like, "Can I race him?" I'm like, "Maybe." I don't know, son. I'm not sure.
So I mean, obviously, you know the athletic side, but this is a business show, and what he's been able to accomplish in the business world is just as impressive.
Yeah.
Endorsement deal is crazy. We're at his restaurant right now.
Yep.
In the music business. Looking to do the DJ Khaled of dance.
Big things are going.
I read about some real estate. So we're gonna have a really dope conversation about the stuff that he is doing and has done post his illustrious historic career. And first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna set it up to be. This is gonna be a Usain Lee. Episode.
That's a
You're
fact.
Saying leaving.
That's a fact. So let's get into this. So you really transcended the game of track and field, because track and field is not one of these sports where it's like basketball or football or soccer, where normally athletes aren't that big. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very niche sport.
Yeah.
But you were able to transcend that and become a global superstar. And make a lot of money. That's another thing. A lot of track stars don't really make that much money just from running track. Yeah. But your endorsement deals and everything else. So when did you see yourself as somebody that can transcend the sport? And how did that happen? Obviously, you know, you being a superstar and breaking records. But what did you think propelled that?
Yo, for me, it wasn't actually at like the first Olympics. It was when I was getting to my second Olympics in 2012, where my agent really sat me down and said, "Listen, if we win this next Olympics, things could take off, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We could start changing the game and doing hell of a different things." And I was like, "All right, let's do it," you know what I mean? That's when I really started seeing the money and a lot of the more sponsorships are coming in. So for me, that's when I was like, "Yo, yeah, let's do this, you know what I mean? Let's change the game." And that's why we continue just aiming high and trying to do bigger things.
So 2012 is the London Games.
Yeah.
2008 is when you first on the scene.
Exactly.
Well, I want to go back to 2004 in Athens, because that was your first Olympics.
Yeah, that was our first
Olympics. And you realize that this is no joke. This is no joke. So I want to talk about a little bit about what Glenn Mills meant to your career and to your development and to being a superstar.
Coach Mills, bro, he changed my life, you know what I mean? He knew, he had a plan. When we started working in 2005, he sat me down and was like, "Listen, we have a 3-year plan. We're working towards the Olympics. So we need to figure out what your problem is, what you need to do to get better." And so we had a whole plan in place when we just started. You know what I mean? And for me, that's what made it work, because I knew exactly what I was supposed to do or how long it would take. You know what I mean? And it took me time to really understand that if I want to be great, I had to work hard. You know what I mean? So I learned that along the way, because I was very talented. Mm-hmm. At a young age, so I was like, "My talent can take me,
whatever."
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So after that, I figured, I was like, "Shit, my talent's not gonna take me. It's not gonna take me this far. So I have to put this work in if I want to get to the top." You know?
I feel like it's very rare to have an opportunity to speak to somebody that's reached the level of success that you've had. Like, I look at you, I look at like Michael Jordan or Floyd Mayweather or Muhammad Ali, people like that. And the average person doesn't really understand. Like, they look at it and they see, okay, he's running a race.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere it was like, you make more money than Jeff Bezos per second. But I'm like, that's not really fair, because the race is only 10 seconds, but it took him 20 years.
Whoa, time. The race is 9.5 seconds. Never 10.
So talk about like the daily grind, and like when did you really start to take it serious, and like how many hours a day for years that it took you, like, the diligent work ethic that you had to have?
Jeez. For me, I really was 2007 when I was like, nah, if I want to really win this. I remember at the World Championships, I came second to Tyson Gay. And in my mind, I was ready. You know what I mean? I was like, yo, I trained hard. I'm ready to go. And I came second. I went back to my coach. And I was like, coach, I was really trying. And he goes, yo, you're weak. You're not going to the gym. You don't come to train all the time. You don't sleep. And he started naming a list of stuff. And I was like, shit. You know what I mean? I was like, all right. I was like, all right, next year, I'm going to do all this. And that was 08. You know what I mean? And you've seen the product of 08.
Yeah.
But it's just, I train, like, depends. I train 3 hours a day on the track, and like I do 2 hours in the gym. You know what I mean? And then I have to do like extra stuff because I have scoliosis, so I have to do back workouts and ab workouts just to keep my core. If my core is weak, I start getting injured. You know what I mean? So throughout all hours, like probably 6 hours a day. You know what I mean? But it's spaced out throughout the day, but it's always intense. You know what I mean? It's never just like go for a jog. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you said Tyson Gay's name. As you're training in the early stages, right? Because after you take over, there's no catching you.
Yeah.
But are these the guys that you're looking at? Like, I'm going to pass him, Michael Johnson. I need that record. Is that on your wall as you're building up?
No, for me, I live for competition. I enjoy that. You know what I mean? So for me, I was like, yo, I want to compete against Tyson. So for me, that was it. I was like, you know what? I was never thinking about records or anything. I was like, yo, I just want to beat you. That's how I am. You know, if you're faster than me, I want to beat you.
Yeah.
So for me, when I'm training, I'm working hard to beat this guy or that guy or anybody. So as long as you're lining up with me, I want to beat you. That's how my mentality is. I'm very competitive in anything I do.
So for your endorsements, because I know I made a lot of your income, Puma. Yeah. It's interesting because it's not Nike. It's not Adidas. What made you, obviously, when you were coming up, that might have been the only company that I didn't. But once you, I'm assuming you had offers from every company and might have even been offered more money. What made you want to really hold the flag for the Puma brand?
For me, because that's where I start. You know what I mean? That's where it started. When I just got out of high school, that was the first contract I got. You know what I mean? And that was the person I worked with. And we kind of just formed a relationship. I knew everybody in the company, you know what I mean? From the top boss down to the little guy who brings me my stuff, I knew everybody. So after a while, when Nike or Adidas came, I was like, yo, I was like, nah, bro, I'd rather stick with somebody I know. Because if anything goes wrong, I'm sure these people are going to stand by me, you know what I mean? Because we're like family now, you know what I mean? So with Nike, you have seen, as soon as you mess up, they go, bye. You know what I mean? And I've really worked with Puma all my life. So I was like, you know what? This is the company I want to stay until I retire. Yeah. And even now that I've retired, I still work with them, you know what I mean? So it's just a long life partnership.
I can imagine the type of bags that Nike and Adidas threw at you. So to me, that shows that how loyal you are to a company. But you said early on, you said Puma was your first deal. But you weren't great with money, right? Because coming from humble beginnings to now having a sponsorship, a major one, international company, you said your teammates helped you understand money. So, like, who are these teammates and what kind of lessons?
My team. No, my team.
My
team, yeah.
Okay.
For me, when I started out, I always wanted cars and just to go out and just to buy clothes and have fun. You know what I mean? As you said, when you grew up, I didn't have it. You know what I mean? So now I have all this money. You just want to spend and live and get all what you couldn't get back in the days. You know what I mean? But then they sat me down and listened. You need to look at all these athletes throughout your life. And they start naming a few athletes like, yo, this guy's bro, this guy's bro, this guy's bro. Because all they do, they don't think about, at some point you have to retire. You know what I mean? They don't think about the end product. I mean, and they kind of just educated me on what's going on. And that's how I really got smart. Like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? And as soon as I decided, I was like, yo, I'm going to retire this day. Like, yo, we need to start putting things in place. Make sure when you retire, you have no problem. You know what I mean? So my team really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And it's surprising to see how much a lot of athletes go broke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From here to like in no time.
I think you kind of set the bar though in the track and field world because it was like, yeah, we had Carl Lewis and we had some prominent athletes, yeah, but nobody had done it like you. And so my question is now is like when you're looking at the landscape of it and you look at the impact, do you see stars coming up like you and having that type of confidence and that level of business savvy?
From Jamaica.
Well, for many, well, Jamaica for sure.
In Jamaica, bro, I think right now the crop, the guys, we have a lot of talent.
Right.
But a lot of these guys don't, the determination and work drive, they don't have.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Everybody wants to be great, but they don't know what it takes. You know what I mean? I've seen in my own two eyes, bro. Like, athletes that are so talented. And I go, yeah, this guy's going to be great. You know what I mean? But their work ethic, when they come to the track, they're like, oh, I'm tired today. Oh, my hamstring's hurting. Oh, it's always excuses. I'm like, bro, you can't make it if you're going to find excuse every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always said to them, listen, I come out every day. You think I'm tired, but I know what it takes. So I come here and I work hard every day, no matter, I push myself. You know what I mean? So right now there's athletes, but who wants it? Right. That's the question. You know what I mean?
When you guys race, this is, I always came to my mind. The races are sponsored by companies, but is there a prize money when you win the race too? Because I know a lot of people make their money in sponsorships.
Yeah.
But like when you win an Olympic gold, is it the look and the endorsements come from winning the gold, or is there an actual cash prize for doing this?
Right, so the world championship comes with a cash prize.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you win or you break the world record, you get a cash prize.
What happens if you do that 5 times?
Yeah, you get paid, you know what I mean? You get paid, but at the Olympics, it's just a glory, you know what I mean? And I think it comes because if you win the Olympics, then sponsorship will come.
Right.
So you still get paid, but not like the World Championships.
Yeah, and that was the big thing. It was supposed to be amateur, and that's why for a long time, NBA players or professional athletes couldn't play in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be all for amateurs, but it's like that was so stupid. Like. Yeah. Obviously, it's not amateurs. You got the best athletes in the world.
Right. It's like before the Super Bowl.
It's still stupid, though. It's still really stupid to know that you don't get paid for the Olympics. We talked about a few athletes are like, yo, this boy caught her. I was like, oh. Nah, bro. You know what I mean? In my time, athletes were talking about, I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
But that's crazy to think about it. Like you said, I mean, it's coverage all over the world.
Exactly.
There's sponsorships.
And they get paid.
And then, so there's money that's coming into the Olympics.
A lot of money.
But the athletes aren't getting. And there's no Olympics without athletes.
Yeah, there's a lot of money coming into the Olympics because there's sponsors. And
a lot.
The figures that they throw around to sponsor the Olympics because it goes worldwide. I mean, and there's so much events and
broadcasting rights.
Exactly. Yes. So they get paid. We don't get paid, but they get paid. Like the
Super Bowl,
the college
football. NCAA.
They just changed.
They just changed.
I'm just saying.
Right.
There's a lot of money that used to come in. No one to get paid.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that's what I was saying. Like the Super Bowl. Like we talked about that on the second episode. It was like people pay for their halftime performance.
Yeah.
And you don't get paid for doing it, but the look. You got 1 point or 100 million people watching you. Endorsements will come for that. But that's
let's talk about this because if you're not like a track and field fan, you might not fully understand the dynamics of how it works. So. The Diamond League versus the World Championship. So, can you tell the Diamond League is people that are not familiar with it?
So, the Diamond League is just like a football, like a random football game. You know what I mean? Like NFL game. So, every Sunday you have a normal football game. So, Diamond League is like that for athletes.
And that's in Europe?
Yeah, that's in Europe. It's a different place. They have like, say, 14.
Okay.
And it's in different places of the world. So, different time of the year and stuff like that. So, you just go, you compete. And you get prize money and stuff like that. And then the World Championship is like when you compete with your country. You know what I mean? Like it's similar to the Olympics, but not as big. But it's just for track and field.
So, but the Diamond League, you make way more money.
No. If you win.
If you win.
Yeah.
Well, you always got to win.
Yeah.
That's the key.
If you win, you make more money with the Diamond League.
Yeah. No, the World Championship.
She was every two?
If you, all right. So, you get prize money, which is standard. You know what I mean? But depends on who you are, you get appearance fee. I mean, so if you're me or Shelly Ann Fraser or Tyson Gay or whatever, they pay you a certain money. Everybody's price is different.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Because
it's who's drawing the crowd. That's what they pay you for. So if I'm showing up, they're like, all right, cool, Usain's coming, it's spread out. It's going to be full. You know what I mean? If a regular guy's coming, they'll give you less money.
So it's like an artist performance. Like,
exactly.
You might be worth $1 million to them. Somebody else might be worth $100,000.
Exactly.
They're going to sell the entire city and get names on.
Exactly.
Now, does it go by race? So, like, when you do the 100, there's a prize, 200, 4x1, and are you splitting that four ways? How's that work?
Yeah.
Yeah? So
because 4x1s, you don't really have 4x1s in the Diamond League. Okay. It's always individual races, like 100 meters, 200, might be 1,500. But every Diamond League, they're trying to mix it up and do different races in different Diamond Leagues, so it's not the same thing.
So, like, you are, you know, an anomaly because you're so successful. But I'm assuming most track athletes aren't really making that much money. So how do you, what do you think a solution to that can be to make it more profitable?
We have talked about this a lot. They need to change the format of track and field. You know what I mean? Because it's not exciting. If they could get it like soccer, or you guys call it, like soccer, you know what I mean? Where it's a team, where you own a team, and then you transfer. But then it's be exciting because then you run every other week, and it's like a team, like Jamaican team is going to win. So people look forward to seeing and support the team, but it's just individuals, you know what I mean? And a lot of these guys, they don't have the energy and the flair and the fun. So it's kind of boring, you know what I mean? But you need to build the sport to the point where people want to watch it. You know what I mean? And I feel like if they really do it like a soccer team type of shit, it'd be good.
Did you go in, because when you're talking about making it fun and having flair, you went into it doing that, having the lightning bolt and doing the eyebrow raise and dancing in the yam shoes?
Yeah, I was always, it's something that I've always done. You know what I mean? If you watch back in the days, when I won World Juniors here, a salute to the crowd and everything. It's just a vibe. It's just who I am. You know what I mean? It's just who I am as a person. And I just keep doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just love it. And after a while, I saw people like, they really enjoyed me performing. I was like, all right, let's do this. And I turned it up a notch. You know?
Yo, man, it's the proudest thing. Because like, we see you doing this.
Yeah.
And like, being in America, but knowing like the heritage of Jamaican. I was like, you about to smoke them? They'd be like, what you mean, them, man? You brought in the props, man. I'm like, nah, our parents were kids, bro.
But that's part of branding, too, though.
Yeah.
It's like it made you bigger. Like, we interviewed Shaq. He was like, he understood that he had to be bigger than just a basketball player.
Exactly.
That's why a lot of the commercials, like, and now he became Shaq. So I was like, when I see you, like, you're doing, like, you know what I'm saying? It's more than just running a race. Like, now you're a superstar from all of the other stuff that you do.
I'm trying to explain to a lot of people that same thing. I'm like, bro. Yeah, I run fast, but people love my personality of who I am. This is why I make the money, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people run fast before me, but I brought my personality with me. That's how people are like, oh my God, he's pretty cool. I like him, you know what I mean? And they want to get to know you and talk to you and vibe, you know what I mean? And I've explained to a lot of these athletes, but a lot, they don't get it, you know what I mean?
Like, or it might not be the personality like either.
Yeah, but sometimes, bro, you got to figure it to make it. Right?
That is a fact. So let's talk about this restaurant business. So you're a restaurateur. We're in your restaurant right now, Tracks and Records. So I was reading, you actually was telling us that the goal is to actually expand this. So first, how did you get started in the restaurant business? And how has it been going since, you know, obviously Corona, things of that nature?
Well, for me, most of my things is like in persons approached me there, the KLE group approached me, and they're like, yo, would you be cool to be in the restaurant business? I was like, yeah, you know what I mean? That's something good to have, you know what I mean? That's how it really got started. And then when we got this one, people always come in there like, yo, I love this, you should do more and do it around the island. So we got one in Ochi, and then we have one in Montego Bay, and then people are like, yo, you should take it overseas, and then we start franchising. So we did one in London. But then after that, we started talking to other people. Then Corona started, and then it kind of just slowed shit down. But it's going good.
What came up with us? Listen, New York, Brooklyn, specifically Bronx. I've talked to the great one about coming to America. So if you're asking, yes, we did. We spoke to him.
So London, that's interesting because it's like, I feel like Jamaican people live in Jamaica, obviously. They live in Brooklyn. Yeah. They live in Toronto, Canada, and they live in London.
Yeah.
That's like four places where they in Florida.
Miami.
Yeah.
Florida. So is the plan to like really take over at those different Toronto?
Because we were supposed to get one in Toronto. That's the other person that we were talking to. But as I said, as soon as Corona, everything got shut down. You know what I mean? But it's all about who, because it's franchise. Anybody wants, they can hit us up and we figure it out. You know what I mean? So we're just trying to put it out there just to be great. You know what I mean? Just trying to leave a legacy.
Well, but what was the idea behind having a franchise and not just doing it yourself in different locations? Less work for you and just kind of like always, the McDonald's model?
Yeah, yeah. It's always less work. You know what I mean? If you make the money with less work, it's always better. You know what I mean? So, but it's something that we know that people love. You know what I mean? And everywhere you go, first thing a lot of people, yo, is there any Jamaican restaurant around? You know what I mean? So for me, if I could get Tracks and Records out there, that was my dream, you know what I mean? That's something that I was like, yo, this could be big. Because as you said, the franchise with McDonald's, KFC, all these different people, you see it.
Yeah.
So if I could get to that level and retire.
Corona slowed the restaurant game down, but it didn't slow your endorsements down.
Nah.
So one of the most interesting ones I saw was Peloton.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a double-edged sword because obviously when you wake up, you work out. But now they've created like a workout for you.
Yeah.
But I know music is something, so I'm thinking like, hey, maybe the music would be there. Can you talk about how Peloton came about? How did they approach you?
Yeah, they approached me. For me, I actually got my Peloton before Peloton's around. Because when I retired, I was like, yo, I can't be bothered to go to the gym every day, to go to the track again. Because I've been doing that all my life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was actually watching TV one day, and it popped up. And I was like, what is this? And I researched it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get one.
Yeah.
And that's how I got a Peloton. So I just put it right in my room. And then I was get on that 30 minutes a day, and you're good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's how it got started. But then they approached me, and they're like, yo, we'd like to sponsor you. I was like, yo, cool, yeah, for sure. I actually use it, so I'm good at it, you know what I mean? So that's how everything got started.
It's one thing to be a superstar athlete. It's another thing to be the face of a country. Like, Drake is the face of Canada.
Yeah.
You're the face of Jamaica. Yeah. Like, how has that been? Like, I feel like you're the biggest person in Jamaica since Bob Marley. And obviously it's a lot of responsibility, I'm assuming. But how is that? And how has your role in the country grown as an ambassador?
For me, I just try to represent my country the best I can. Anywhere I go, anything I do, you know what I mean? We always think about making sure that, yo, we think about the country, anything. Like, even when we're doing our shoots and whatever, we say, yo, we don't like this. It's not going to show good on Jamaica, you know what I mean? So, for me, I've always had that in the back of my mind because I've been representing Jamaica since I was, like, 14. You know what I mean? And it has only gotten bigger. And for me, I enjoy being an ambassador for the country, you know what I mean? Everywhere I go, people show me hella love, you know what I mean? Even people from overseas, like, yo, bro, thanks for doing this. Anywhere I go right now, yeah, I say I'm from Jamaica, I get hella love, you know what I mean? So for me, I appreciate it. I love it.
And talk about that, because it's like, just Jamaicans all over the world. And it's one of these things, no matter where you go, there's Jamaicans there.
Yeah.
And they're very supportive. So how has that been, traveling around the world and having people with the Jamaican flag and all over Europe and America and everywhere?
It's the best thing. Anywhere you go, you always find a Jamaican anywhere in the world, bro. You know what I mean? You're surprised. I went to Mexico for vacation in Cabo, and it was a guy. I was like, yo, I'm from Jamaica. I was like, yo. And then he started talking pato. I was like, all right, cool. But they're everywhere, bro. But they always show me love, and they always tell me thanks. So it feels good, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, thanks for doing so good. You really put us on the map, and you make us feel so proud and good. So it's something that I really appreciate and love, you know?
Yeah, and you said that you never, because I was surprised myself. I'm like, oh, so you get to Miami. Do you have a place in Miami? He said, no. Jamaica is where I live. I don't have any ambition to go anywhere else.
I just love Jamaica. You know what I mean? When I started out, I hate the cold. That's the first thing.
Okay.
I hate anywhere that's cold weather. I hate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because I got offers to go to college, like every other Jamaican.
In America?
Yeah, to go. I was like, nah.
I want to stay
in Jamaica, California, you know what I mean? So that's something that's where it started. And from then, I've never really said, yo, you know what, I want to place anywhere else. It's just, I just always want to come back home, so.
Coming up and being a track superstar, what's the process as far as, like, getting an agent, getting a manager? Because I'm assuming, like, you know, you just had to learn a lot of this stuff on your own, right? Did your coaches, like, in primary training, you with that, or did you just kind of, like, figure that out? Like,
no. So as soon as you get to professional level, that's the first thing. You have to get an agent, you know what I mean? So in Jamaica, there was a few people that everybody knows, you know what I mean? So you kind of ask and say, yo, who's a good agent? Who works with who? You know what I mean? And that's how I got my agent, Ricky Sims. He's Pace Sports Management. And from then on, we just work good together. And one of the reasons I stayed with him, even when I started out, he always treated me the same way, like everybody else. He gives everybody respects. He makes sure you get pickups. and you always get the information, so you know who's going to pick you up, what time is your flight, how much money you're going to make, everything. You get all the information. I like how professional he was when I worked with him. And with my manager, I had a manager that my parents actually found that I used to work with. And after a while, my best friend, NJ, that sings the music, he when he finished college, because he's a trained teacher, when he finished college, I was like, yo, bro, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I got to find a working teacher. I was like, you know what? Come work for me. You know what I mean? Because I trust you and I know you're going to have my back 100%. You know what I mean? And he was like, yo, but I don't know anything. You know what I mean? I was like, just learn, bro. But he's like, all right, cool. And he started and he worked with my other manager for like 2 years. And after that, he just took over. You know what I mean?
Let's go. Yeah. I feel like that's LeBron play.
Yeah.
You didn't know, come with me,
yeah,
stay right next to the agents,
yeah,
and eventually you become the agent.
Exactly.
That's dope. So exactly. When somebody wants to approach an agent or an NJ about a sponsorship or a partnership, what is it like? Does it have to be aligned with something that you're doing already? Or is it like, oh, that's a great creative idea? I mean, I feel like you were born to be this, right? Like the last name, Bolt, tracks called perfect. Gatorade, Bolt, drink, perfect. Now we got the Bolt scooters. It's like, perfect. Yeah.
Don't forget the raises.
No, for me,
it's a lot.
For me, it's we do try to pick proper brands. You know what I mean? Because you know you try to align yourself because you're trying to put yourself out there. Because the more sponsors you get, the more sponsors are going to see you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we do try to align ourselves with like proper brands. We don't just grab every cash that comes along. You know what I mean? Because the better brands that you're with, the more people want to work with you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what we have learned over the years. You know what I mean? So we just keep on rolling.
Yeah.
Keep on putting our commercials. Keep on...
The billboards keep going up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw the Digicel.
But let's talk about the Bolt Mobility, the electric scooters.
Yeah.
That's interesting. How'd that come about?
It's actually my agent, Gina Ford, from the U.S. Because I have a U.S. agent.
So you got an American agent and a Jamaican agent.
And Europe. Like, NJ runs off Jamaica, but I have somebody in the U.S. and then Europe. Ricky, my agent, Ricky actually takes care of all of Europe.
They work together? Or they,
yeah. Okay. They just know, because everybody's information is on my website. So if you want to contact somebody, you contact them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if somebody from the States hit Ricky up, Ricky said, no, talk to Gina. She does the States stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so everybody's on the same page. But so when Gina hit me up and he goes, yo, these guys want to start Bolt Scooter, but they want to name it Bolt Scooter. So, what do you want to do? I was like, "That's easy." That's how it really got started. And then we sat down with them and we talked, and they shared ideas. And we're like, "Yo, let's do it." You know what I mean, and that's how we got it done.
Is that how a lot of deals come? Like people might have already something and they want you to kind of be a part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
They bring it to you.
Yeah.
You look, you're like, all right,
exactly, I'll rock with it. And then you can pick and you go, yeah, sure, no, or you go, no, I'm not with that. You know what I mean? So it's all about different branding and how we see our brand, the brands working together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At what point did you, so I'm assuming these companies, you have equity in these companies. When did you start moving over and like, you know what, I'll rock with this, I'll endorse it, but I need to be an owner. Yeah. I'm not just, don't just pay me, I need to be an owner.
Yeah, I think it was later on in our career. We're like, you know what? We need to stop taking, like, cash, you know what I mean? And get some equity because a lot of these companies are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know what I mean? And your leverage is going to only go up. So we decided at the end, like, you know what? And when the right companies comes along and offer you, like, to pay, like, nah, give me some equity in this and are we good? I'll run all the commercials you want as long as I get paid, you know what I mean? So we just learn, you know what I mean? And just like the music now, we just take our time and figure it out.
So is that the play now? Not even the play, but is that the strategy now? We're going to take less cash up front, more equity?
Yeah, in the right companies.
Okay, in the right companies.
In the right companies,
gotcha.
You got to do your research. If you do your research, and you know what? It's not like we need the cash, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we can take the equity, and the long run's bigger. I got 3 kids now, bro. I got to think about the future.
Congrats. A father of twins. Congrats. That's a insanely great strategy.
Yeah, trust me.
Insanely.
I saw you getting into real estate also. A building in Kingston?
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
For me, as you said, we're just trying to find...
Just diversify.
Right, yeah. The portfolio, it can be as big as it possibly can be, you know what I mean? And when we started, I have two buildings, and I'm working on trying to get another one going. You know what I mean? But again, Corona, bro, slows everything down. But for me, growing up and learning about real estate is the biggest thing. And people always say, listen, getting houses and stuff, they have assets, so that's the way to go, you know what I mean? So when we got the chance to purchase my first building, I was kind of nervous. I was like, bro, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? And they were like, yeah, but at the end of the day, it's the asset. It will stay with you forever, and it only grows, you know what I mean? So I was like, you know, all right, do it. And after I saw the way it was turning the money over, I was like, you know what? Let's get another one. You know what I mean? And just continue doing and continue working on it.
Yeah, I feel like real estate is interesting. And Max Maxwell said this to us. He's from Jamaica and wants to come back and do real estate here. But a lot of times, if you drive around, you see these houses that are vacant. They started, but they never finished.
Yeah.
And it goes a lot to having a team and having the right people around. So is somebody organizing the team for you, or is it everything set? You saying, do you want to be involved? How's that go?
It's NJ. Everything goes through NJ. You know, for me, he has made my life. My best friend has made my life way easier. You know what I mean? Because with him, he filters out all the spam before it gets to me. You know what I mean? He knows. Anytime he sits me down and say, yo, this is what we're doing. I know from the start that, yo, we're going to do it. This is what we're doing. You know what I mean? Because he doesn't bring nothing stupid. As soon as he puts it on my, like, all right, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
That's how it is. He's here. Can we clap it up, AJ?
Boss man.
Yeah,
man, seriously. Because we've been friends since, like, I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
So he's always been a part of my life, and we're cool. I trust him 100%. So he makes sure everything is good. Everything goes through him, no matter what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, cool. Talk to NJ. You know what I mean?
No, but it's important to have that system in place so you don't have to do everything yourself.
Exactly.
Even Rick Ross talked about it with his mother and his sister. So you empower the people around you. Yeah. That's a common theme. Yeah. You empower the people around you. And now it's not like somebody's looking for you to give them money. Yeah. They're actually earning money because they're performing the service. And they're helping your economy. You're helping their economy. Yeah. And that's really how everybody grows together.
Sure.
Let me ask you this about the music. So
the next venture.
So you're an artist, a producer, executive.
I'm a producer. Yeah, I'm a producer.
We're putting it out there. Yes.
So let's talk about that. What inspired that? Because from what I'm hearing, that's kind of like the vision. Kind of be like what a Khaled is, right? Where it's like you bring artists together and add your flavor and sauce on it. So what inspired that? And where we are with the music right now?
So Have you followed my career? You know that music and dancing is my thing. I'm always dancing. I'm always playing music. I usually DJ once, like after every party, after every diamond meet, they would have an after party. I would bring my laptop and DJ for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's something that I've loved. I was always saying to NJ, yo, we should really drop a track. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And do something. And he's like, we always laugh about it. So I work with Mum Champagne, and they did a champagne for me.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And that's all we really got to. He's like, yo, you know we should do? Drop a rhythm with the champagne when we launch it. Yeah. And that's exactly what we did. It's called Olympia Rose Rhythm. And it's Olympia Rose. And that's how we got our first thing. And the vibe that we got, we're like, yo, we like this, people. Give us a vibe. And then, like, now in the Corona time, we weren't doing much. We're always here. We're like, you know what? Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And that's how we really got into music fully. We just started making rhythms and started doing different things. You know
it's a party.
And he was like, yo, you should sing. I was like, bro, no. I'm not a singer.
So
if you want to sing, you can sing. Well, I'm not singing. You know what I mean? I want to be a DJ Khaled. You know what I mean? Just a vibe guy, that energy guy that gets it pumped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is the goal to have a record label?
Yeah, we do have a record.
You got a record. Yeah.
18 Lifestyle. Is that 18 Lifestyle?
18 Lifestyle.
So you have artists signed? Time.
No. We haven't signed anybody. For me, what I'm working on, we talked about it. We're just trying to get a foot inside the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people, now that I started, people don't really take me seriously.
I want to talk about that. Because I'm thinking, like, you're the face of a country.
Yeah.
Right? You're the face of the country. Dancehall and reggae is the music of the country. Yeah. But when you try to reach out to artists.
Yeah.
It was like, I got a lot of time.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to do it at this studio. And I'm thinking to myself,
well, you know what? That's not really surprising, though, because if you look at in America, when Shaq was rapping. Kobe, nobody took Kobe serious.
That's different though, because they're not the face of the country. You know what I mean? These guys are superstars.
I'm just saying.
But Kobe, there's nobody bigger than this guy.
I think you have to prove yourself.
And the music side?
Yeah. So they probably look at it like they dedicated their whole life to music.
Yeah.
But they just want to see that he.
Nah, but I'm not singing though.
He's not. It's like the guy on the beach. I need somebody to give me this look.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just getting the beats and I'm trying to produce it because I love music. You know what I mean? And I want to do it. So at the start, I call people like, send me the rhythm. We get it done. And then you call them back. Next week. You call them back. I was like, bro, I'm not doing this. You know what I mean? So I just hit, like, people who I know, like, really know, I was like, yo, they go, all right, we'll do it. You know what I mean? But I have to prove myself, and I'm not cool.
Yeah.
If I need to continue making music, but I want to get my foot in the door,
yeah.
And then I start signing people. You know what I mean? Because it makes no sense. I sign somebody now, and no matter how much music I put out for you, it ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
So we make. I do music with my friends and my close people. NJ sings and stuff like that. So I make my core people I work with and just continue producing songs, making videos. But now, even now, a few of them, because they see what we're doing. You know what I mean? So now people will call.
Yo, remember that?
When you're doing that next rhythm, just hit me up. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, cool. And that's a good part because now people are really, all right, cool. He's really serious. I'm going to listen and watch what he's doing.
You said that TJ White. So
is the Vibes producer?
Yeah.
Did he give you advice into getting into this game? And like, look, don't take it personal. It's how the game works. Like, what was his role in your music?
But TJ has been somebody that we know for a minute. You know what I mean? And he's always going to, like, anything you want to know, you can call him and say, yo, listen, this is what we're going to do. What do you think? You know what I mean? Because he's been doing this for a minute. You know what I mean? So he's the one that guides us and helps us along the way. You know what I mean? And say, yo, don't do this, don't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Try this instead. You know what I mean? So he's really helped us just to grow. And that's what we need. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody to guide us and to make sure you don't make same mistake they made back in the days. And that's what it's always the key, that you listen. Because if somebody's in the business for a while and doing great, there's a reason why he's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Let's have this music conversation. Dancehall and reggae. A lot of people outside of the culture don't fully understand. They think everything is reggae.
Yeah.
But there's a difference.
Yeah.
Can you kind of talk about the difference and which one are you leaning towards with your musical preference?
For me, all right. So dancehall is that hardcore, like,
party.
Going in, like party vibes. You know what I mean? Reggae is like more like Barry Hammond. Yeah.
That's what
you know what I mean? The nice, smooth song, culture music.
Yeah.
That's reggae. You know what I mean? So it's two separate things. But right now it's dancehall because reggae people in Jamaica now. You have a few artists like you have Coffee is doing like reggae music. You know what I mean? And a few other guys. You know what I mean? What they do, but it's really hardcore dancehall that people are listening to, you know what I mean? That's what they want to hear. So you just got to give the people what they want to hear, you know what I mean? But for sure, in the future, we'll definitely do some more songs, you know what I mean, with Chronics and all these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We do reggae, but right now it's just mainly like dancehall music.
So this is important too, right? You got 9 gold medals.
Yeah.
The music pops off, you win a Grammy.
Yeah.
Which one's going above on the mantle?
Nah, it's always going to be my gold medals.
Gold medals?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, it's good to be in a gram, but my gold medals is a hard work and tears, bro. You know what I mean? It's a hard work and tears. I always tell people, I have a documentary, I Am Bold. Go check that out.
Yeah,
because a lot of people see me, they go, oh, yo, you make it look so easy. Yeah, it looks easy, but it's not. The work that goes on behind the scenes is what? Go check it out. Seriously. I Am Bold documentary.
Let me ask you this. As far as the music, because I know you're big into music, this was brought to my attention today. Afrobeats is really kind of dwarfed dancehall now. Like they say, like, as far as like dancehall is kind of getting sucked into Afrobeats and it's all kind of merged together. How you feel about that?
I don't think so.
Don't think so?
No. Dancehall is so different from Afrobeats. You know what I mean? But I think Afrobeat has grown, like, massively, you know what I mean, over the few years, you know what I mean? And the way dancehall was is not the same thing. You know what I mean? It's more streamlined. Because back in the days, I was listening to the radio. I think it was Chrome. I don't remember who was playing. And they were talking about, like, dancehall. Like, back in the days, you used to have Clash. You know what I mean? And Song and Song, yeah. That was when dancehall was at its peak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you check the verses thing, when Beanie and Bunty went on,
best.
It was different.
Legendary.
And that's what dancehall is missing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody's friends now.
That changed it.
Exactly.
That changed
after everything is different. You know what I mean?
There's no battling.
Yeah, there's no battling anymore. So dancehall is kind of on a level right now.
It's kind of cooled off.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that? I mean, watching the versus Bounty, because you're here, you know the history, you know how far back that goes, 1995 Sound Class. Watching it present day on versus, them being together, what was that like for you?
It's crazy. It's crazy to see this, man. All my life, Bounty and Beanie's been at war.
Yeah.
All my life. You know what I mean? Yeah. And to see the two of them on versus, just having a good time, it's like, yo, it's crazy. You know what I mean? But it was so good. To watch and just reminisce and hear all these songs.
That was some real street.
That was real. Yeah. And that's what I think. That's what dancehall is missing right now. That hardcore where he's against him. Remember, Cartel and Movado, same thing.
Yeah.
Dancehall was at its peak.
Yeah.
It was dangerous. Though.
We need. Yeah, because people took it too far.
Yeah, yeah,
You know what I mean? People took it too far.
Yeah.
Because it was hot. It was heating.
Yeah.
Every argument on the street was, yo, who's the baddest? Whose song was the best? You know what I mean? But it's still, that's what dancehall was.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So now Afrobeat is picking up and dancehall is like, we need that energy again.
Yeah, I think we need a supercar. I want to ask you this too, because it's like, I feel like there's no global superstar right now.
Yeah.
The biggest dancehall star, correct me if I'm wrong, is still Vybz Kartel, which is interesting because it's been in jail for a long time. What is Vybz Kartel's impact on the culture? Because it's like, for us, I'm like, he's coming out with new music.
That's the greatest mystery of the past 10 years of Jamaica.
Yo.
Not the yams that you say. How is he making music? And it's new. This is crazy.
It's interesting.
As you said, it's an impact, bro. Vybz Kartel made an impact. Because the level that he makes music and anything he does is just gold. He's very smart. You know, you listen to his music and how he performs, and he will sing this, and then next week you hear his music and it's totally different. You know what I mean? And that's how he rolls. He doesn't keep one flow for too long. He flows the one way and then he switches it up. You know what I mean? And that's what makes him so great. Because you hear one artist, the whole life he sings the exact same way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Vybz Kartel, every 2 years or every year, it's a different flow, different vibes. He just keeps. And that's why it's so great. That's why he had that big impact on Jamaica.
So is he still the top dog? Or is it like a guy like Popcorn is coming in?
Vybz Kartel can't. He will never stop. You know what I mean? Yeah. But right now, I don't know, bro. The six of them, as Jamaica would say.
Mm-hmm.
And like Popcorn is doing well also, you know what I mean? But no one is really.
From my perspective as a fan, I feel like that's one of the things. Because even in Afrobeat, they got Wizkid, they got Devado. What is his name? Devado. But I don't think that
nobody's.
You know what I'm saying?
Burna Boy, major artist.
Exactly. Yeah. So. You know what's interesting? Everything has peaks. We need it.
All right. So when we did Clockwork, right, the rhythm, we did Clockwork, and we hit Sham up. And this is why he did the lockdown song. But people missed that dance hall. They were so happy to hear this. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, shit. And the vibe he gave you, it just reminds you of dance hall. And I talked to him about it. I was like, bro, people are going to love this. First time he sent me the song, I was like, I'm sure people are going to love this.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I heard it, it reminded me of like proper old school Jamaican dancehall music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what we are missing nowadays in the music. Until that comes back, it's just going to be regular.
So yeah, I did the lockdown song.
Yeah.
And then obviously as Corona has eased up a little bit, we'll see what happens. It's a party comes.
Yeah.
Very intentional.
It's a party. Yeah, it's a summer song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a summer song. And we talked about it. And you had a few songs. I was like, nah, this is the one. It's a party is a one. So it's it's summertime now. We finally got a little bit extension on our curfew. So I was like, bro, you drop the song right now, it's going to get a buzz. People are going to like it. Because that's what we want, you know what I mean? Just have fun. It's a party and NJ. So this is what we're doing, and that's what we did.
The video looks great, you know. Yeah. It was missing one thing.
What's that?
These guys called Earn Your Leisure. You know, we like to have fun.
Two-day party?
It was a party. It was a party for the video. It was a great video.
That's why I'm here.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm here for the bag.
Oh, God.
That's the second part, right? You got to earn the leisure. And so, you know, the next video, you know.
All right.
Let us know.
No worries. No worries.
You ever been to Labor Day Parade in Brooklyn? You been there before?
No, never.
You been to Caravana?
Yeah, I've been to Caravana.
You gotta come to Brooklyn.
I've been to Caravana.
You gotta come to Caravana.
Caravana's crazy.
Caravana's a vibe.
Yeah.
Shout out to Toronto.
I was like, shit.
Let me ask you this, as far as Jamaica, how has COVID affected things? Because I feel like it got hit hard because you're still in lockdown, semi. How has it affected like the business economy in Jamaica?
I think it's bad for everybody, you know what I mean? But the dance hall itself, the entertainment industry was bad. It's finally now they're really like opening it up and giving us a chance. But initially nothing, you know what I mean? It was 10 people. They're like, you only can gather in tens. I was like, what?
Intimate gathering.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it got hit really bad, you know what I mean? But overall, I think a lot of people, they told us, like everybody else, work from home as much as possible. But it was as crazy as everybody.
What's your thoughts? What's your thoughts on the business climate in Jamaica? Because we always hear about music and sports. But like for the entrepreneurs that's coming up, do you think that there's some opportunities? Are you optimistic? Or do you feel like there's a lot more that needs to be done to help entrepreneurs and young people that's trying to figure it out in business?
I think there is. You know what I mean? There's a lot more work. You know what I mean? It's not as easy. You know what I mean? Because even to get a job is rough. You know what I mean? And it's the weirdest thing. I've never said this, but like they don't put a lot of respect on like Jamaican education. You go to UE or UTech and you come out of school, if somebody goes to American school, they get the job like that, easy. And it makes no sense. And one other thing, when people say, yo, well, you need experience. How am I going to get experience if nobody's going to hire me? You know what I mean? You got to give kids, people a chance to prove themselves. You know what I mean? But it's hard for entrepreneurity. It's not something that you can just get up and go, all right, I can make it. Now, that's why a lot of people just work, you know what I mean?
Or leave.
Yeah, or leave. A lot of people leave.
That's kind of a great segue because I want to talk about what you do with the Usain Bolt Foundation. Refurbishing schools, creating community centers, donating laptops. Can you talk about that and the importance of it? Obviously, we know that the resources can help any situation. Yeah. So that's what you're doing. Is throughout the country or specific areas?
It's mostly the rural areas because that's where it's needed, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because especially in the rural areas, you don't have internet and stuff like that. So we work with Digicel also to try to get a few schools, like internet service. And then we figure out that some places you can't get internet. So we have to get printers now to send to like different schools so they can actually print information and pass it around the community to the kids. You know what I mean? So for me, that's what we've been doing most of COVID. You know what I mean? Just trying to get as much equipment out to these rural area schools so they can get their information, because it's not, you can go on, like in Kingston, you can go on Zoom, everybody has an iPad, everything, but in the country, it's not like that, you know what I mean? So that's what we're focused on most throughout COVID, is trying to get as much equipment to the rural area as possible.
And were y'all donating to the hospitals as well during COVID?
We tried to help in any way possible, to give like equipments and just even just to have a talk with people, because mental health was the situation.
Yeah,
so it was a big thing. So any possible way I could help and I have the time, I would do it.
Have you ever thought about getting into politics?
No, I stay away from politics. I stay away from politics. Politics is, I don't want to say corrupt, but corrupt. You know what I mean? But I stay away from it. It's too much. You know what I mean? It's too much going on.
I just feel like, you know, you're such an ambassador. You're such proud. You have so much pride in your country. Yeah. You're going to leave the country. Yeah. You could be the president.
Yeah, but it's too much. It's too much. It's too much, bro. I stay away. if I can avoid politics, I avoid it completely. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just do my part, do my work. That's it. You know what I mean?
Unofficially, is a promise. Yeah. Already.
I try to help in any way, but I just leave it alone. Man. That's how I am.
Right. So what's on the horizon? What's on your vision board in the next 5-10 years as far as, you know, different things that you have going on?
For me, I take it as it comes. You know what I mean? Right now, I'm just focusing on this music. You know what I mean? See how, for the next 2 years, I think that's going to be our main focus, to see what's going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To try to get everything together and to see how far we can go with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But behind that, I try to still get my buildings up and other things, but my main focus is going to be the music right now.
Who's the up and coming artist that you really like are tuned in with, like
NJ? Nah, but seriously, for me right now, we just try to make good beats and find, because I'm not really searching for like talent yet, as I said, because I want it. When I get my foot in the door, then I'll be like, all right, cool. We can say, let's see who's talented. We can probably do something on social media where the best top 5 music are like. So, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But right now I'm just working. And as I said, people are enjoying the music more now and listening to it. So I'm really happy with what's going on.
What artists would you want to work with that you might not have?
Every.
Who's your dream? Who's your favorite artist? Let's say that.
Jeez.
Who's your favorite artist of all time?
Of all time. So it has to be Vybz Kartel.
Okay.
Vybz Kartel is I was talking to Baby Sham the other day. I was like, bro, we grew up on your music. So when I see these guys and hear them sing and see the word that they put in, it's always so crazy. You know what I mean? To know that I grew up on their music all these years and now I'm just working with these guys. You know what I mean? So I'm always, you know, big up Sham, always. Because to be working with him is like a dream also, man. Trust me. Because you grew up on these music.
Right.
Yeah.
And they are culture, Bush, Blanc. Yeah, man. So to come to Kingston or your link, your man say, yeah, man. A track now? Yeah. And he just give me a beat 2 days after, you have a song. It's no joke, Ross. It's no joke. I respect that and love that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's always interesting because I feel like athletes always have such respect for music.
Yeah.
And musicians have such respect for athletes. Same true. Thing in America with rappers.
Exactly.
All the rappers want to be ball players.
Yeah.
All the ball players want to hang out with Drake and all the rappers.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like you listen to the music before. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They go hand in hand. Music and sports go hand in hand.
For sure. I've always said that. Like, yo, music and sports is like one. You know what I mean?
Can we, before we go, again, congratulations on having twins. Can we talk about the role that fatherhood has played in your life over the past few years?
For me, patience is what it has taught me.
Yeah.
To be very much more, because I wasn't patient, but I get annoyed really quick. If I have to wait or something, I get really annoyed. But now I have to be patient, you know what I mean? My daughter, she doesn't listen one bit. Like, she would look at me, I would like, come here. And she looks me dead in the eye and walks away. Like, I'm like, I know you know what I'm saying to you. But you have to have patience, bro. But that's what they told me, and it's been great. Sleeps a little bit of sleepless nights, but expected. You know what I mean?
You retired at the right time.
Yeah. I was smart to not have kids while I was running. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a good decision.
You ran your own race.
Yeah, made it.
Well, you say it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure. Shout out to Nicole, Black Effect, iHeart for putting this together. Shout out to the whole team. Shout out to you. Shout out to Shams. And shout out to everybody in Jamaica, man. We've really been enjoying ourselves out here.
Happy.
Everybody really, really just friendly and just show us so much love. We got to know what party is going on. Got to the club scene. I know it closes at 11, but I'm sure there's something.
I'm sure there's something is going on.
We'll talk about that off camera.
That's another couple.
But nah, man, anything that you'd like to tell the people, what would you like to like let them know? Any businesses, stuff you got going on?
For me, it's just the music right now. Just look out for the music, you know what I mean? I'm seriously in the music business. It's always A-Team, Lifestyle, Usain Bolt Production. It's all that. Just look out for the music and support it, you know what I mean? Go stream the music. You know what I mean? Because I'm in business. And you're going to continue hearing good music with different people.
Yeah. You should put together a tour when Corona's over.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of artists. That'd be dope.
Who's not coming? Who's not coming?
A vibe.
That's dope. All right, man. I appreciate it. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah. Shout out to Kingston, Jamaica. shout out to Kingston, Jamaica. As y'all know, my entire family's from here. So to be here with the GOAT is incredible. And shout out to everybody on Patreon.com that's been supporting us. That's our private pay program. Shout out to the Tier 5 members that have access to EYL University. All our earners across the world. All our earners in Jamaica. We came here and people recognize us from being on the podcast and our earners as well. So shout out to y'all. Shout out to everybody that's supporting the merch. We greatly appreciate y'all. The logo TVs are, the logo t-shirts are back. So shout out to y'all. And yeah, man, keep supporting.
One last thing. How does it feel to be in a sport? I feel like this is interesting. Track is probably the only sport in the world where there's no debate. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't say like, Floyd Mayweather versus.
I love it.
It's like, they got the numbers. Like, if you're the fastest person,
that's
how does
what
it
I
feel
love.
To be like, yo, I'm the best at ever do this, and you can't argue, you can't say Jordan versus LeBron.
Yeah, we feel? Always talk about this, bro. And I always laugh. And I was like, yo, yeah, no, there's no question. You know what I mean? You can't dispute this. You know what I mean? Because what we always argue about Messi and Ronaldo.
Yes,
one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What side are you on?
I'm Ronaldo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a Manchester United fan.
Okay, that makes sense.
So
okay.
That's how it started. I support Argentina, though, but...
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's your...
Yeah,
okay.
That's my international team, okay, yeah. Okay. But Cristiano Ronaldo, for me, he's proven himself. And people always ask why. I was like, yo, Manchester United dominated. Went to Real Madrid, dominated. Went to Juventus, dominated. He's proven that, yo, anywhere I go, I can dominate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like Neymar.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Cleary.
I almost forgot. I'm glad you said that. The debate. So you ran 19-19, and you ran 9-5-8. Could you have gone faster if you didn't do the chest bump and the arm?
He looked.
No, he did the chest, bump. Like,
but then he also did this.
No, that was the one he looked back at them.
Okay.
That's one of the best memes of all time. You think you could have moved? You could have
Probably. You know what I mean? But for me, as I said, I've always said to people, I don't run for time. You know what I mean? I just want to beat you. That's how I am as a person. I'm competitive. So I show in 08. When I ran in 08, Tyson was injured. And I won and think everybody was like, oh, it was because Tyson wasn't there, blah, 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 blah. I was like, all right, cool. Respect, he wasn't there. And then in 09, now I beat him. I was like, all right, what are you saying now? You know what I mean? It was just all about competition at the time. I never run for time.
Was your toughest race in the 2016 Olympics? You got to come back from injury.
It was actually the year before that, World Championship.
He had just come back from injury, and they were like, hey, Gatlin's got him this time. He had a crazy year.
Yeah, it was running fast.
And you still beat him.
Yeah. Because, all right, I explained this to a lot of people. It's easy to chase somebody. Yeah. When you're the one being chased, can you handle it? You know what I mean? Because throughout everything, he was the one chasing me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the season now switches around. Now, he gets to the line. I'm the one chasing him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the pressure that got to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people always think it's easy. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not easy, bro. When you're on top, it's not easy. Because he was running good. And I was like, I was barely making it back. I was running good, but I wasn't running fast enough. You know what I mean? But the pressure off that day that, yo, he had to win got the best of him. You know what I mean? He just... broke, saw me, and just lost it. You know what I mean? And it's just the pressure. Yeah. And I tell people, it looks easy, but it's not.
And you know, it's because of, I know from like the 200, once you make that turn, the distance between you and the next person is so disrespectful that it looks like, oh, you're coasting.
Yeah, like 200 is my event.
It's like, why are they even racing?
It's not my event. If I win 100 meters, I'm not losing 200 meters. So
yeah.
I tell people all
and
the time.
And you did the 400.
Yeah. Yeah, early but I didn't like it.
too much.
That was too much. In 07, I remember after I came second to Tyson Gay. My coach was like, yo, you need a second race. You have to run the 400 meter. I was like, nah, bro. I'll run the 100 meter. He goes, no, you're not a 100 meter runner, though. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, nah. And we like, all right. I was like, all right, bet. If I run 100 meters and I run fast, I run 100. If I run slow, I run the 400 meters. And he's like, all right. And I went, I don't remember, I think I went to Athens somewhere, just to meet, and I ran 10:03. And I was like, cool. You know what I mean? And 10:03 back then was
good.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I was like, and that's how I started running 100 meters.
Yeah.
If I had run slow, I wouldn't be the fastest man in the world right now. I'll be running the 400 meters, you know what I mean? So it's crazy how things work out.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Appreciate it, brother.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
F*** a mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.